Letters and Journals, The Stuff of History, Part 2. This episode is based on Murder on the Red Ball Express, Book Number 11, the Juno Letters series, available on Amazon and other ebook retailers. Two trucks of Company C, 514th Quartermaster Regiment, pushed on through the cloudy, moonless night as the sounds of war, mostly long-range German artillery, crept ever closer. On their tail, Private Bobby Jenkins and radio mechanic Private Trevon Malloy followed with a load of fuel, some rationed for them, most of it headed for General Patton's tanks, pushing eastward through the French countryside. Somewhere ahead, the convoy's lead trucks had disappeared into the inky blackness. Somewhere behind, the rest of the trucks slogged along ready to climb up their ass if they didn't keep pace. 3 days without rest, except to refuel. 3 days without hot food. 3 days having to piss out the window as the truck careened wildly through the ruts carved by the incessant parade of supplies. 3 days of white-knuckled terror, dodging ruts, rocks, and German shells, carrying jerry cans of gasoline and boxes of ammunition, just waiting for a spark to become a traveling bomb. Welcome to the Red Ball Express. The genesis of this story came unexpectedly. A man I met told me he had a large box of letters written by his father to his mother, starting with his aircraft training in World War II and proceeding on to his service in the Philippines. He said his father was a pilot. He thought there might be gems hidden in the collection and asked if I was interested in reviewing them. I decided to make a synopsis of each letter and see where it led. They led nowhere. The father was not a pilot, it turned out, but a radio man, a second-seater, and the letters were mundane, containing nothing of significance. Except one. It was so out of context, so shocking, that I cannot quote any of it here. It was vile, dangerously racist, bizarrely sexualized, and subtly violent toward the woman who one day would become my friend's mother. The letter was written by her brother. How it ended up in this box was unknown. It was pure gold. I received permission to use it on the condition I did not reveal where it came from, and set out to build a story around it. What grew out of that letter was a story of forbidden love between a young black Red Ball Express driver, Private Jamie Pierce, and a French peasant girl. It is a story of greed and corruption, an exploration of the conflict between a small group of black RBE drivers and white soldiers. Private Pierce is accused of raping the girl, is subsequently murdered, and the VA denies his family his death benefits. The black soldier's young white lieutenant, who the drivers call Dickie, makes it his life's mission as an attorney after the war to prove the VA wrong and exonerate Private Pierce. But there is a twist. While the letter was written by a white sergeant angry at being forced to serve with black drivers, and 75% of RBE drivers were black soldiers, and he ultimately pleads guilty to murdering Private Pierce, the present-day story uncovers the truth. I didn't kill that colored man. Those were his dying words. But his letter told a different story. Vile, racist, filled with hostility toward men he hated because they were black. He pleaded guilty. But Sergeant Timothy Clark of C Squad died before serving a single day in prison. I felt repulsed, disgusted. But for some reason I could not rationalize. I knew he was telling the truth. This was the plot twist, as our present-day protagonist uncovers the secrets of the past. Period fiction can be offensive. As a writer of historical fiction, I have to avoid the temptation of placing a modern-day shroud of correctness on things like actions and dialogue. This story pushed that commitment to the limit. It is historically accurate and offensive at the same time. When using period correspondence, you need to decide where that line is. Don't judge. Let the story tell itself. I like a positive ending. This is how Murder on the Red Ball Express ends in the present day. God damn it, Ashley, what the hell is going on? Your service called and asked if I had seen you. Ashley just smiled. Dad, I'm in Paris.
Paris?
Look, and she pointed her phone's camera toward the Eiffel Tower from the stone concourse of the Trocadero. Look familiar? Well, I'll be damned. He scratched his short, wily gray hair. What are you doing in Paris? This have to do with the Pierce case? Ashley suddenly grew quiet. I settled it.
What?
Ashley began to tear up a little. I found the truth, and the VA is going to settle. It's all over. We did it, Dad. It took 70 years, but we did it. James R. Sawyer, Richard Sawyer to most, Dickie to his friends and close associates, just shook his head. We'll all be goddamned. Did you get your fee? Ashley began to laugh. Yes, Dad. How much?
$1.
Her father smiled. Good girl. And she joined in unison with a private motto they had shared between father and daughter her entire lifetime. Always get the fee. Great story ideas can lay hidden in letters for years. Go find your best next story. I'm L.W. Hewitt, and I've gone off-grid.